Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yuma Daf Nun Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 22 lines from the top of Daf Nuntes. If you want to approximate, it would be in the middle section of the narrow lines of the Gemara Daf. You will see at the beginning of the line, Rebbe Lezer Omer b'mkomo hoya oimed u'mechate chutz mizu shehoya lefonov. That's the quote from the Mishnah. The Mishnah has been dealing with the blood applications on the golden altar in the Heichal. And we saw a machloikis tanoim, the Tanakama versus Rebbe Lezer. The Tanakama spoke about walking around the Mizbeach, and in our previous year we identified the Tanakama as Rebbe Yossi Aglili, and the second opinion in the Mishnah is that of Rebbe Lezer that says that the Kohen Gadol stood in one spot and applied the blood to the four corners of the Mizbeach by reaching his hand around the Mizbeach, reaching the four corners and smearing the blood along the edges, the corners. This, of course, was possible only because the inner Mizbeach, which was the golden incense Mizbeach that stood in the Heichal, was a rather small structure measuring 1 by 1 amo, half a meter square, and it stood at a height of 2 amos. Assuming that a regular person's height is given at 3 amos, so you can imagine it was a 1 meter high structure by half a meter length and width. So we are noticing that Rabbi Lezer says he stands in his place and he reaches across, and the Mishnah mentioned the direction of the hand movement, namely starting, smearing the blood on the Mizbeach while starting at an upper position of on the corner of the Mizbeach and smearing downwards. And the possibility of an opposite direction, starting at a lower position and smearing upwards. Now, this depended, what should actually preface and say, that it was important that the blood should not soil the Kohen Gadol's clothing, so that the blood, being a liquid, would, if he moves his hand in the wrong direction, it will end up dripping back onto his sleeve. So the Mishnah said on the previous Omid, you can see back on Daf Nun Ches Omid Beis, in terms of Rebbe Eliezer, the Mishnah says that on all the corners he would smear milamato lamala, in an upward movement, with the exception of the one that the corner he was standing in front of, where he would have to smear the blood starting from a higher level on the corner of the Mizbeach, moving his hand downwards. So the Mishnah points out that the change in hand movement was the corner in front of him was a downward movement, and the other three corners were an upward smearing movement of blood at the edge of the corners of the Mizbeach. This detail, in fact, is one of two opinions as to what Rebbe Eliezer really holds. When we speak of two opinions, we're referring to two later Tanaic authorities in their understanding of what Rebbe Eliezer, who was an earlier Tanaic authority, what he actually held. So with that introduction in mind, we glance at the side of the Gemara. We have our Nosei Mivne heading. We have a double underline, which will be used to highlight the names Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda in the Tanaic source. And they are two deos, Shnei deos b'Rabbi Eliezer, two deos as to what Shitas Rabbi Eliezer is. And again, we're dealing with a detail in terms of the hand movement upper, moving downwards or upwards. We'll also be highlighting in the Tanaic source the word kulon. The word kulon means all the corners with a trapezoid or volcano shape. And you'll see that we use a dot underlining to highlight the expressions mimalo lamato or in contrast, milamato lamalo. This will help to highlight the differences between the shitos. Simun kidei lahavlid hasheni ben shtei adeos. The markings will help to enable you to see quickly the difference between the two opinions within Rabbi Eliezer. What does he really say? So now, with that introduction aside, we go into the Gemara. Masnisen Moni. Our Mishnah's presentation of Rabbi Eliezer is in accordance with whom? Rabbi Yehuda. It's Rabbi Yehuda's version of Rabbi Eliezer. And let's go through the source and then point out why the Gemara is saying that. Disanya. We have a Tanaic source. The first opinion, see, Rabbi Meir occupies the first half of the source, until you get to the double underlined Rabbi Yehuda. This presentation of Rabbi Eliezer is not like that of our Mishnah. We can ask you, can you see where the difference is? So in a minute, you will see. Rabbi Meir Omer. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Meir is moderating, is saying this is what Rabbi Eliezer holds. The Kohen Gadol wouldn't walk around the Mizbech, would stand in one place. Umechate has to do with smearing the blood on the corners of the Mizbeach. The Alkulon Hoya Noisein Mimalo Lamata. On all of the corners, he would do a downward smearing motion. Chutz mizu shebalach soin, with the exception of the corner that was in which was diagonally away from him, was called the far corner. It was a diagonal, the diagonal corner away from him. Shenoise would have to reach across, and if you can imagine trying to reach across, and then and how are you gonna smear the blood on that far corner? Shenoise mimato lamalo. There you would do the opposite direction, smearing upwards. It was basically, there was no other way to do the blood on that corner, and in such a case, there wouldn't be any fear either of the sleeve getting soiled because of the positioning of the hand and the distance factor, and the hand is stretched out. The next section will present Rabbi Yehuda, and therein you will see the similarity between the Rabbi Yehuda's presentation, that which we saw in the Mishnah. But before we get to Rabbi Yehuda, let's look at the Rashi in the upper part of the narrow lines. We have a little star to help you find it quickly. The Al Kulon Hu Noisein Mi Lemalo Lemato. Rashi says, Bezu Shelefonov, the corner that was closest to the Kohen Gadol. Again, we just, I know it's sounding repetitious, but the Kohen Gadol is standing in one spot when dealing with the four-corner blood applications to the golden altar. So the corner that was in front of him, Al-Korcho, without any option, he's forced, Kedei Shelo Yozuv Hadam L'Soch Beis Yodel, so as to avoid the blood dripping into the sleeve. Beis Yodel means his Kohen garment sleeve. The Hoyel V'Gavoa He Yoser Miyodo. Since the corner of the Mizbeach that was right next to him was higher than his hand is normally positioned, so Tzorchlios Roshes Bosov Lamalo, his finger tips have to be facing upwards. The Moishech Mi Lamato Lamalo, and if he were to do an upward motion of the blood, because he's going to be reaching higher up from where his normal hand height is, so he's going to be moving up because he's smearing the upper corners of the Mizbeach. So he's going to be smearing upwards. He's going to have to smear upwards. in other words, his fingertips are going to be positioned upwards. And if he were to go milamata lamala, if he were to do a motion like that, going from a lower position upwards, hadam zov lesoch beis yodo, the blood will drip into his sleeve. Ubaoisin shotstodim, the corners that are off to the sides that aren't immediately next to him, noisein kederech shehischil bazu, he will continue in that same type of motion. Namely, a downward smear. Chutz mi'oisa shebalachsoin shirachoika, with the exception of the corner that's diagonally away from him, which is it's far. The imbo limshoch mi lema lo lemato. Imagine trying to do a smear going from an upper a position moving downwards in that on that diagonal corner, toirachulo, that's very difficult to do. Lios kofuf, to be bent over and reaching across, uposhe zroo ad kalos hamatona, and stretching out his hand until he finishes the application. Elo, mishekoifef gufo uposhe zroo, rather, at that point when he's reaching across to the diagonally far away corner, he bends his body, he stretches out his arm, maschil lemato, he starts from a lower point, venizkaf v'holech lemalo, and thereby straightens himself more and more as he moves his arm upwards. So as far as Rebbe Meir's version of Rebbe Eliezer, three of the corners are from an upper position moving downwards, with the exception of the far diagonal where he is starting at a lower position, smearing upwards. And as Rashi says, Valkula noise milamato lamalo, that is going to be going on. The next Rashi is going on Rebbe Yehuda's approach. So let's turn back to the source after having seen Rebbe Meir's approach, where three of the corners were from an upper position moving downwards, with the exception of the diagonal, this one that, by the way, we did not see in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, we continue in the story, says Rabbi Lezer Omer, Bimkoma Omeid, he stands in one spot, Umechate, and smears the blood, Al Kulon, who knows saying mi lemato lemalo. Notice the markings. With regard to this presentation, the three of the corners are milamato lamalo, from a lower position upwards, and that's the difference. You can see with the markings how this is in contrast to which we underlined earlier, where the majority of Rebbe Meir's version of applications are upper moving downwards. The majority of Rebbe Yehuda's version is downwards upwards. And Rashi says, because it's easier to do that. Chutz mizu shelefon of mamish, with the exception of the corner that's literally in front of him, shenoisein mimalo lamato. There he has to go from a higher position downwards. And on that point, there is agreement between Rebbe Yehuda and Rebbe Meir, the one in front of him, he will be starting at a higher position, moving downwards. Kihechi delo nisvason mone, so as to avoid nisvason is the soiling, the dirtying mone of his clothing. After applying the blood to the corners of the mizbeach, the Mishnah mentions that there were seven applications or sprinklings of the blood, al tiharo shel mizbeach. So the Gemara continues, hizo mimenu al tiharo shel mizbeach, a quote from the Mishnah, of course, my tiharo, that word, what does it mean? So as you go on in the Gemara, you'll see triangles that appear, and on the side we have the nosei mivneh heading. These are deos b'mai Tiaro shel mizbeach, the olav zorak kadam. What is the meaning of that word? So you have Rabo bar Rav Shilo, and there will be a second version of what he says on the first wide line. Omar Rabo bar Rav Shilo, palge de mizbeach. midway point up the height of the Mizbeach. Palgei means halfway of the Mizbeach. So it's the halfway mark of the height of the Mizbeach. There would be these blood applications. Kida Amri, and she, as people say, Toher Tihara. That's an Aramaic version of what we call Tzohorayim, or midday. Vavi Palgei Diyoma. People say Toher Tihara. That is a reference to half day, midday. Mesvei, the Gemara raises a question from the following source. It says, Kishu maze, when he does the sprinklings, Eino maze lo al gabi ha'efer, velo al gabi ha'gecholim, the sprinklings are not to land on ash, nor onto coals, Ela choise gecholim eilech ve'eilech umaze. Rather, he pushes the coals aside, and then does the sprinkling. So you see that the sprinkling, the hazah, has to be on the top of the Mizbeach, the place where there was ash or coals, and they're simply cleared away. Ela Omar Rabba Bar Rav Shilo. So rather, what Rabba Bar Rav Shilo must be saying is Al Giluya de Mizbeach. Giluya means the exposed part of the Mizbeach, meaning after the coals were moved away, so the top of the Mizbeach is exposed. And it's on that point where the sprinkling takes place. Now, how does that tie into the word Tihara? Kidichtiv, as the Pasuk indicates. Uche'etzem ha-shamayim lo-tohar. The Pasuk is referring to a clear sky, where all cloud and cloud cover has been moved aside. So tohar literally is a pure sky. So it's a pure, a clean top of the Mizbeach. Tanya, Chananya Oimer, Bitzad Tzfoini Hu Noisein. The Kohen Gadol, according to Chananya, is positioned at the northern edge of the Mizbeach. Rabbi Yossi Omer Betzad Droimi Hu Nosein. And Rabbi Yossi says he's positioned at the southern edge of the Mizbeach. Before continuing, we take a look at Rashi. Rashi Chananya Oimer. Rashi is about halfway down the page. Chananya Oimer Betzad Tzfoni Hoya Nosein Kol Sheva Hazos. He's standing at the northern edge when he's doing the seven final blood applications. Final means in terms of the Heichal blood applications. There is, of course, the Shirayim, which is a separate topic, but as far as the applications are concerned, these seven applications are done while the Kohen Gadol is standing at the northern edge of the Mizbeach. Chananya Sovar, Chananya is of the opinion that Pesach de Paroches Bedorom, the opening of the curtain, is in the southern end of the Heichal. The Chinofik, when the Kohen Gadol leaves the Kodesh HaKadoshim, B'maroviz Droimis Poga, he will meet up initially with the south western corner of the Golden Altar. V'hasam lo yohiv b'reisho chitu d'kronos, he won't make his first applications at that point, even though it's the first point that he reaches. Kida Amoron, as we have learned in our previous year, Adenofik Lemizrochis Tromis, until he continues further moving easterly, he moves away to the southeastern corner of the Mizbeach, the Yohiv, and he then does the application. V'hodar l'maroviz dromis, and then continues to the southwestern corner, l'smoil, in a left-hand direction. Mishum debaha ichayev b'reisha, that really the southwestern corner was the first spot. Kidamoron le'el, as we explained in our previous shir before. U'misham l'maroviz svonis, and the next corner in his left direction. When we speak about left direction, means while you're facing the Mizbeach and you follow your left hand around, the third corner would be the south, the northwestern corner, and Svoinis Mizrochis, and finally northeastern corner. You can take advantage of the little diagram that we have on the side of the Gemara to appreciate this or follow along even a little more. V'hosam de gamrei l'chitui, at that point, he finished the corner applications, the finishing at the northeastern corner. So at that point, it's there, Yohiv Sheva Hazos. Then he does the seven applications that we are talking about now, the seven sprinklings on the top of the Mizbeach. So according to Hananya, because the entrance or the exit point from the Kodesh HaKadoshim happened to be in the south, that leads to the concluding corner to be northeast, as we just described. And at that point, after doing the four corner applications, he then does the seven top of Mizbeach applications. And hence Hananya's comment that the seven applications take place at the northern side of the Mizbeach. The next opinion is that of Rabbi Yossi, and we look in the Rashi. Rabbi Yossi Sovar Pesach Bitzafon, Kinor Masisin. This we've seen already in the Mishnah, that the entranceway, according to Rabbi Yossi, was the northern edge of the Paroches, and the northern side of the Heichal. As he said in the Mishnah, Hilkach b'mizrachis sfoinis maschil. Therefore, he's going to be exiting the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He's going to have to move to the northeastern corner. He won't start at the northwestern corner because of the pasuk that says v'yotzel ha-mizbeach. He has to leave the area of the mizbeach. So he starts at the northeastern corner, and he moves in a right-hand direction. And the final stop will be the Dromis Mizrachis Misayim, Rashi says. He finishes at the southeastern corner, the Hosam Yoyev Hazos. And there, once he finished the four corner applications, he does the seven Hazos of Altir Roshim Zech on the top of the Mizbeach. Okay, that having been said, we used the Rashi as an introduction to the Gemara. Now, the Gemara will make much more sense as we go on. B'mai komifli, what is the basis of this machlokis between Hananya and Reb Yossi? Why does Reb Hananya have him doing the seven applications at the northern corner? In fact, it's the northeastern corner. And why, according to Reb Yossi, is he doing it at the northwestern, the south eastern corner? We saw Rabbi Yossi said Bitzad Romi, southeastern corner. Why is he standing there? So the Gemara answers, Mor Savar Pischa Vidorom Koi. Hananya held that the exit point from the Kodesh HaKadoshim was at the southern edge of, or the southern extreme of the Paroches, southern extreme of the Heichal. And as a result, so you end up, the last corner application, according to Hananya, would be the northeastern corner. Umor Sovar Pischa B'Tzafon Koi. And Rabbi Yossi holds that the entrance to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the curtain was pulled away, was open at the northern edge. And as a result of that, so his last hazah, or last corner application, will be southeast, as we described in the Rashi. De kule almo miho hecho de gamron matonos de kronos hosom yoiv algago. Everyone is in agreement, though, that the last corner application is the place at which you'll be standing for the gago, for the roof application, the seven applications on the top of the Mizbeach. My time, what is the basis of that? That where you finished the corners, that is where you stand for the top. Omar Kro, the Pasuk says, V'tiaro V'kicho, which means, Mokom Shikichu, literally the sanctification, but it means where the corner application finishes, Sham Tiharo, that's where you will do the Hazos on the top. Shorei Hadam Hoyeshefech Al Yesoid Ma'arovi Shel Mizbeach Achitzo. Now, the Mishnah turns to the remainder blood. What do you do with it? So the remainder blood of the Yom Kippur sacrifices is poured on the Yesod Ma'arovi, on the western base of the external, the courtyard Mizbeach. The Omar Kroh, the Pasuk in the context of the Par Kohen Moshiach. This is a korban that we made reference to in our previous shiur. This is brought on the event that a Kohen Gadol errs in a legal ruling. He brings a sacrifice, and what's noteworthy about that sacrifice is that it also has blood sprinklings taking place in the Heichal. So in that sense, it's similar to the Yom Kippur sacrifices. And Rashi points out that the par of Yom Kippur is derived from the par Kohen Moshiach. So when we speak about the par Kohen Moshiach, we're also talking about the par of Yom Kippur, the Yom Kippur sacrifices. So the pasuk in that context says, "V'eskol dam hapar yishpoich el yisoid mizbach ha'oilo asher pesach oil moyed." Now this is rather explicit. It says that the remnant of the par Kohen Moshiach blood offering, blood sprinkling, the remainder is poured at the yisod of the base of the mizbach ha'oilo. That's the Ola Mizbeach, the external, the courtyard Mizbeach, upon which Ola sacrifices were consumed. And it was standing Pesach HaMoed, opposite the door, opposite the entranceway to the Heichal. So, it's clear then where the Par Kohen Moshiach and Yom Kippur blood is going to, remainder blood is going to go, the Chinofik, when he exits the Heichal. Bahu Pogabareshabo means that side of the Mizbech, namely the western side of the Mizbech, is that which he encounters first. And that's very simply because the western side of the Mizbech was that side facing the Heichal. Vishel Mizbech Achitzon, Hoyeshofich El Yesod Romis, that is a reference to some topic not related to Yom Kippur sacrifices, but in general, remainder blood from courtyard type sacrifices, which is really the bulk of korbanos, that whose blood application was done on the external mizbeach, the courtyard mizbeach, not in the heichal. So the remainder blood of those sacrifices was spilled al yisoid dromis, on the southern edge, the southern base of the external, the courtyard mizbeach. So, just to review, the main point here is that, we'll say, internal blood-type sacrifices, remainder, western side of courtyard Mizbeach. External sacrifices, remainder, southern base of the Mizbeach. Tonu Rabbonan, Yesoid HaMizbeach. This is a quote from the Pasuk in the context of Yom Kippur. Ze Yesoid Droimus. That's a reference to the southern base. Atomer Yesoid Droimus. Oyeno El Yesoid Marovis. Maybe it's a reference to the western base. Amris Yilmad Yeridoso Mina Kevesh Liitzioso Mina Heichal. Learn the descent from the ramp to the exit from the Heichal. Ma yitziyosim lehechal b'samach loy, just like upon exiting the Heichal, it's the blood is spilled at that closest edge, the A ze, and what is that? Ze yisoid ma'arovi. Af yiridoso min hakevesh b'samach loy, so to descent from the ramp, when you're dealing with an external type sacrifice, the blood will be applied to the closest edge, the Aze, and what is the closest edge when you're descending the ramp? The ramp was on the southern side of the Mizbeach. So what edge of the Mizbeach is closest to the descent from the ramp? Ze Yesoid Droimi. That's a reference to the southern edge. We must make a serious correction. Even though it might sound like a detail, at the beginning of this source, we read Yesod HaMizbeach, and we mentioned erroneously that this was in the context of Yom Kippur, not true. Rashi points out that this Yesod HaMizbeach is dealing with the external sin offerings. And there is a Pasuk that is found in Vayikra Perek Dalid Pasuk Lamed. And the Pasuk there reads, V'loka HaKoyin Midoma Betzbo, V'nosan Alkanas Mizbeach Ho'ila, the blood of the sin offering is then applied to the corners of the altar. The called domo yishpoch el yisoid hamizbech, and all the remaining blood is poured at the base of the mizbech, and it's that pasuk that we are referring to. Hence the correction. So the Brisa established that is the southern edge. Now, in the case of the external shirayim, leftover blood, you don't have as explicit a directional reference as you have in the case of the internal sin offerings, the Yom Kippur, para Kohen Moshiach type offerings, where the Pasuk specified, as we said, the Pasuk in the context of the para Kohen Moshiach, specified of the western side. So in this source, you see that the external, we'll call it the unclear type sacrifice, is learned from the more clear internal sacrifice. Just like the internal remainder blood is poured at the edge nearest the exit point, so too the external blood will be poured at the nearest exit point. In this case, it's the exit point from the ramp, and that gets you to the southern side. So we continue in the Gemara. Tanya, Rabbi Yishmael Oimer, ze veze yisoid maravi. A new opinion. Both internal and external remainder blood is poured at the western side of the Mizbeach, the western base. And Rabbi Shimon ben Yochoi Omer Zeh V'Zeh Yisoid D'Roimi. Both are at the southern side. Bishlamo Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel's opinion that says both are at the western side, that is understandable. Kosovar Yomat Sosum Mimufurash. Let the unknown, the Sosum, which is the external Shirayim blood, the external remainder blood, which is unknown, which is Sosum, let it be learned from Mimufurash, from that which is explicit, the internal remainder blood. And what do we know about the internal remainder blood? It's done at the western edge, the western base of the Mizbeach. So let us impose the same requirement on the remainder external sin offering blood, also western. Ela Rabbi Shimon ben Yochoi, my taimo. What is the basis for Shimon ben Yochoi saying that both internal and external blood, remainder blood, is at the southern side? To focus the question, why would he say that the internal remainder blood goes to the southern side? Omar Ravashi Kosovar. Ravashi explains that Pischa Bedorom Koi. That means, and the translation is very delicate. Pischa means the entrance of the Heichal was opposite the southern edge of the Mizbeach. In order to appreciate that, you just have to imagine that the Mizbeach was pushed to the northern half of the courtyard. So if the Mizbeach was pushed to the northern half of the courtyard, the southern edge of the Mizbeach would be opposite the entrance way to the Heichal. So that when we speak about the Kohen Godol, when he finishes, or the Kohen, when he finishes his internal applications, he applies it to the part of the Mizbeach closest to his exiting from the Heichal. Well, what edge is closest to him when he exits from the Heichal? If you make this assumption that the Mizbech is pushed to the northern part of the Azorah, so the southern edge of the Mizbech will be opposite the exit point from the Heichal. Oh, so just like the internal blood is done at the southern edge, so too the external blood shall be done at the southern edge. Tono debe Rabbi Shmuel, bedebe Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. That means the students learning in the yeshiva of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai presented their version of Rabbi Yishmael as saying ze veze yisoid droimis, so that in the yeshiva of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai they presented the opinion of the other Rav like their teacher's opinion. V'simonech, in order to remember that the yeshiva of Rav Shimon bar Yochai drew the other Rav to their opinion, to their master's opinion, to Rav Shimon bar Yochai's opinion, remember the following saying, Moshchua Gavri Legavra. The Gavri is in the plural, so it means the students of Rav Shimon bar Yochai drew Rabbi Shmuel to their position, southern edge for both types of Shirayim blood. The Mishnah went on to tell us v'elu misarvin ba'amo v'yotzin, the different bloods got mixed together as they flowed off the base of the Mizbeach, and they ended up landing in a drainage ditch called the Amo, and went out to the fields outside of the Temple Mount. Tonu Rabbanon. And before we begin the Gemara, we glance at the side. We have a Noseya topic heading. We'll see a Machlokes Tanoim Be'inyin Mi'ila B'dimei HaKorbonos, a Tanaic controversy regarding Mi'ila. Mi'ila is a term referring to personal benefit from items that are holy, which, when you see the word Mi'ila, generally speaking, a red flag goes up, meaning there's a problem, there's an Isser over here. So we're going to see Machlokes Tanoim regarding this prohibition of benefiting from the blood of sacrifices, Achar Zrikoson al HaMizbech, after the sprinkling took place. Now, that is our introduction, but we must tell you that leaving things at that will sound a bit misleading. So you'll see, as we go on a little more, this is clarified. Tanu Rabbanan, Moyalim Bedomim, Divrei Rabbi Meir, V'Rabbi Shimon. Mi'ila, as we said, prohibition of benefiting from the blood, that there is such a prohibition according to Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon. The Chomim Omrim Ein Molin Bohem. The Chomim say there is no Mi'ila when it comes to benefiting from those bloods that are flowing out of the Beis HaMikdash. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Ad Kan Lo Pligi Elo Midorabonan. Truth be told, this machlokus is only on a rabbinic level. Namely, according to the Tanakama, there is a me'ila prohibition, but only on a rabbinic level. And we saw that that would be the case until one pays for the blood. So if one doesn't pay for the blood, there will be a rabbinic me'ila violation. When we speak about the blood, of course, we're talking about the blood as a fertilizer for those fields outside the Temple Mount. The Gemara continues, Avo midoraisa ein molin bohen. But on a Torah level, there is no mi'ila. Minohani mili, from where do you know that there is no mi'ila? In other words, from the Torah's perspective, if you wanted to gather that blood after it's been spilled on the base of the Mizbech and flowed out of the Harabayas, if you want to gather the blood and use it as a fertilizer, go right ahead and do that from a Torah perspective. Minani mili means, from where do we know that there's no mi'ila b'dam? You will see three sources, quoted, three psukim quoted. It's rather terse, but that is what they will teach us. Omar ula, omar kra, lochem. And Rashi gives more background. Pasuk says, "Vanino sativ lochem, I've given the blood unto you," which means shelochem yehe, it shall be yours for you to benefit from. Debei Rabbi Shimon Tana lechaper. Again, Rashi quotes the pasuk, "Ki adam hu benefesh yichaper lechapora nesativ velo lemiila." I've given you blood to benefit from it in achieving atonement. It's designed to provide atonement for the person bringing the sacrifice, and it is not given to us through which to violate mi'ila. In other words, its role is kapara and not to create a mi'ila violation. So there's no mi'ila. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Kro, who, and Rashi quotes the pasuk, "Ki Hadam Hu Benefesh Yichaper," emphasizing the word "who." And what does Rabbi Yochanan see in the word "who"? Meaning, "who lifnei kapora kila achar kapora." The blood's status is the same before it's been sprinkled as it is after it's been sprinkled. Ma l'achar kapora ein boi mi'ila, just like after it's been sprinkled there is no mi'ila, af lifnei kapora ein bo mi'ila, so too before you sprinkle it there's nevertheless no mi'ila associated with the blood. So from the word "who," and Rashi explains a little more, he says, "Ki hadam hu benefesh yichaper hu behavyoso lifnei kapora kilachapor." Its nature, even before it's been used, is like its nature after it's been used. Lacha kapor engvo mi'ila. After it's been used in sprinkling, it's clearly not mi'ila associated. Why? The cave of the nasis mitzvah so isulo karinun bei kodesh Hashem. Because once the mitzvah was done with it, it's no longer considered that which is sanctified to Hashem. So the word "who" creates a certain type of constant status. Just like after kapora, there's clearly no mi'ila, even before using it, also that would not generate a mi'ila violation. The Gemara asks, why not say the opposite? V'yemo li'achar kapora kilifnei kapora. Why not say that after it's been used for atonement, it'll have the status of that of blood before it's been used? Why not say that? Just like before it's used there would be mi'ila, so too after it's used there would still be mi'ila. He more says that form of logic doesn't get off the ground. Ein l'cha davar shenases mitzvaso yemoyel inbo. There are no examples of things that a mitzvah was performed with them and there would still be mi'ila. Once the mitzvah is done, so all, let's say, elements of holiness are gone. It's a used item. It's I don't want to use the term "has been" because that has a derogatory connotation, but it's a thing of the past. The mitzvah was done. No more holiness associated with it. If that be the case, so there's no more mi'ilah. Mi'ilah is deriving personal benefit from that which still is sanctified. So since there is a given that achar kapora there is no mi'ilah, and the word "who" appears indicating constancy, therefore the only conclusion to reach is that even before it's used, it won't generate mi'ilah. At this point, in looking at the question of why is there no mi'ilah doraisa on blood, so you would have three scriptural references. The Gemara asks, "Velo, is that really so that there's no mi'ilah on davar shenaseis mitzvaso v'harei trumas hadeshen? What about the early morning ash that's removed from the Mizbeach?" The Trumas Hadeshen, a small panful of ash was removed, and the Torah says, V'samoy Eitzel HaMizbeach, Rashi points this out, that means that you've got to take that ash and hide it away at the side of the Mizbeach, with term that Rashi says, Ton Geniza. Something that you have to put away indicates it's also for you to benefit from it. And since it's also for you to benefit from it, because of its holiness, it would carry with it a Mi'ilah prohibition. Now, but Trumas Hadeshen, it's ash from sacrifices. The mitzvah has already been done. What do we see? We see that even though the mitzvah was done, there still is a Mi'ilah violation by virtue of the fact that the Torah commands me to put it away. Somo Eitzel Mizbeach. So what are you telling me? The Dabar Shinas is supposed to Evo Mi'ilah? We don't see that over here. The Gemara responds at the top of Sama Chomer Aleph. Mishum Dave Trumas Hadeshen Ubigde Kehuna Shnei Ksuvim Aboim Kechot. Because, and the diamond introduces, as you can see on the side under our Mivneh heading, the word Mishum is highlighted, and it's Dugmois Shel Shnei Ksuvim Aboim Kechot. There's also another expression, Trei Mi'uti, that is highlighted with a diamond. All of these diamonds introduce tshuvos umakoros lahazbir. They are responses and sources to explain loma ba'oifin kloli, why in general dovar shinasis and svasu ein moil in bo. Why is it that something that a mitzvah was done with it already there's ein bo mi'ilah? So the Gemara's answer is that true Trumas Hadeshen, there is Mi'ilah associated with that. If you want to take those the ash that you remove from the Tabas Be'ach in the early morning and use it for personal purposes, that would be forbidden. However, there's another element of something the mitzvah has been done with, and there still is Mi'ilah associated with it, and that's the Big Day Kuna, a reference to the four Big Day love on the white garments of the Kohen Gadol of Yom Kippur. Now, there's a rule. The rule we read, Shnei Ksuvim Aboim Kechot, Ein Malamdin. What does that mean? Two psukim, two topics that come to tell me the same thing. When the Torah does that, the Torah in effect is saying that only in these circumstances will that phenomenon apply. Namely, only in the case of Trumas Hadeshen and Big Day Kuna, although the mitzvah was performed already, there still is a prohibition in benefiting from them. What the Torah wants me to understand is, true, there is a prohibition, but in all other cases, there is no prohibition. That's the idea of Shnei Ksuvim Haboim Kechot, because if the Torah wanted me to use, to derive that even though a mitzvah was done, there is Mi'ilah, the Torah wouldn't have stated it twice. It would have stated it in one case and said, let this serve as an example for all other places. However, so since the Torah does repeat itself, it's trying to say that only in these cases will there still be a prohibition of benefiting from it, hence Mi'ilah. But in all other cases, and of course we're talking about the blood. That's not one of these two examples. The blood is an outside case. So, in that case, in all other cases where Nasis Mitzvaso, no Mi'ilah. We continue in the Gemara. We're going to read the second line from the top in the middle. V'chol shnei ksuvim aboim kechot, ein lam, when you have two psukim, two topics telling me the same thing, it's basically trying to say, the Torah is trying to say that here this rule applies and nowhere else. And this rule meaning the mi'ilah. Only here mi'ilah will take place, though the mitzvah was already done, but not anywhere else. The Gemara continues and says, ha'nicha l'rabbonon, this analysis works out well according to the Rabbanan, the Amri V'nicham Sham, that says that the Pasuk V'nicham Sham, which is in the context of the Big Day Kahuna, of the Kohen Gadol's Yom Kippur garments, Melameh She'tu'unin Gnisa, that it tells me that the white clothing that were worn by the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur, after Yom Kippur, you need to bury them away. So that shows us that the Bigtei Kahuna are in fact Osir Behanoa. Elo the Rabbi Doisadam Bigtei Kahuna Ruyan Hain Lukain Hedyo Mai Ikolamaimar. But according to Rabbi Doisa, who doesn't learn Vihinicham Sham means you must bury them away, but rather it means that it were telling me that when a Kohen Gadol finishes using them, a standard Kohen is allowed to wear them. So then, Ma'iko Lameimar, what are you going to say about the topic of Nasis Mitzvot? Because at this point then, you know what, we're left only with Trumas Hadeshen. Trumas Hadeshen, an example of something as Nasis Mitzvot, so the mitzvah was done with it already, the korbanos were already burnt and consumed, and yet the Torah says you cannot benefit from that Trumas Hadeshen. So maybe that will be the archetype for all cases of mitzvahs that were already done, and there still is going to be Mula, and then that's going to present a problem for the blood limud that we had on the previous omid. The Gemara says there's no problem, because even that Manda Omar, according to even Rabbi Dosa, who deleted Bigtei Kahuna from this from the two examples, nevertheless Mishum Davi Trumas Hadeshen the Eglo Arufa Shnei Ksuna Boim Keachod. In addition to Trumas Hadeshen, we also have an example of Egla Arufa. This is a ritual where a murder victim was found between two cities. The closer of the two cities, after measuring their distance from the corpse where it was found, they bring this is not a sacrifice, but it's a ritual where a calf is brought to an untilled valley, a barren area of ground, and its neck is broken, and it serves as a form of kapora for the community. What is the law regarding the Eglo Arufa? Well, once the ceremony has taken place and it's killed as part of the Torah requirement, one is not allowed to benefit from the animal, from the carcass. So we have Trumas Hadeshen. The mitzvah has already been done, and there's a prohibition of benefiting from the ash. Egla Rufa, the mitzvah has already been done, the ritual has been done, and there's still a prohibition of benefiting from it. So that is another example of Shnei Ksuvim HaBoim Keachod. Only in these cases will we say that though the mitzvah was done, you still cannot benefit from it. But in all other cases, you can. The Chol Shnei Ksuvim HaBoim Keachod Ein Malamdin, when you have two psukim coming to tell me the same principle, we don't extrapolate from that or apply to other cases the same principle. Kuma says, Ha nicha lemadomer ein malamdin, so that we can say what we did earlier regarding the blood, that in general, kol davar shenaseis mitzvasoi ein malin bo. That will work out well according to the opinion that says Ein Malamdin, that when you have Shnei Ksuvim HaBoim Keachod, so you don't learn from them. Ela Lamadim Malamdin, but there is an opinion that says that even though two psukim are coming to tell me the same thing or describe the same phenomenon, we do learn from them. And if you carry that further, then I'll learn from Trumas Hadeshen and from the Eglo Arufa, that even though the mitzvah was done, there still is going to be me'ila. So the Gemara explains, no, tre mi'uti ksivi. If you look at the psukim of the Egla Arufa and the Trumas Hadeshen, you will see that there are mi'uti, limitations, that only in those cases, the Trumas Hadeshen and the Bigtei Kahuna, only there do you say Nasis Misvaso, still there is Me'ila, but not in other cases. So we continue in the Gemara, Tre Mi'uti Ksivi, and therefore I don't learn from them. By the Trumas Hadeshen, the word Vesamo, you shall place it. The it is a limitation to that topic, to Trumas Hadeshen, and Ho Arufa, the case of the Egla Arufa, its neck is broken. And only there will we say that after the mitzvah was done, there still is an Isser Me'ilah. But in general, no. So the Gemara asks, well, Vahani Tlas Kroy Bedam Lomali, the three psukim that we cited on the previous Omid regarding the blood, what do you need the psukim for? And the psukim were, in one word, each pasuk was Lochem, Lachaper, and you were, had the word Hu. What do I need those psukim for to tell me the blood is mutter? We've established now that midoraisa, there is no mi'ilah on Dover Shinasis Mitzvaso. Midoraisa then, from the Torah's perspective, there's no Isser Me'ilah on the blood. So I don't need the psukim for that purpose when it's established that the Torah holds Dover Shinasis Mitzvaso, when the mitzvah has already been done, there's no mi'ilah. So what do these psukim in fact teach me? V'hani tlosi kroi bedam lomali, the three psukim we had regarding the blood, what do I need them for? Chad lim'uti minosar, one is to exclude blood from the violation of nosar, that if a person would eat blood, let's say of a korban that was left beyond its time, he'll be in violation of eating blood, which is forbidden from the Torah, but he won't be in violation of consuming nosar, which is a sacrificial meat left beyond its time. So one mi'ut, one limitation expression is used to exclude blood from nosar. As we said, if he eats blood that was from a leftover sacrifice, he'll be in violation of eating blood, but not in violation of nosar because of this limitation or exclusion. The chad lim'uti mimi'ilah, and the other is to exclude blood from the mi'ilah violation. The chad lim'uti mitumah, and the other is to mimayit it, exclude it from the realm of ritual impurity. Avo mipigol lo tzorach lim'uti, but as far as excluding blood from the pigol violation, that you don't need. Lo tzorach lim'ute kra, you don't need a pasuk for that purposes. There is a rule that's derived from a korban shlomim regarding pigul and disnan. Kol shiyesh lo matirin, anything that has another element that enables it to become mutter, bein l'odom bein l'mizbeach chayovin olav mishum pigul. So let's go over that with examples. Kol shiyesh bo matirin. What are examples of things that have a matir? Well, sacrificial meat. If someone slaughters a sacrifice and then rips out some meat from that and you roast it, you're not allowed to do that because you didn't sprinkle the blood yet. So the meat of a sacrifice is a davar shiyesh lo matirin la'adam. And the mizbeach is an example of the emurim, the innards of the korban, are placed on the mizbeach. But when? Only after the blood has been sprinkled, so that you can't eat the meat, you can't offer the innards until the blood has been sprinkled. So those are examples of a davar shiyesh lo matirin, whether it's for a person or it's for the mizbeach. And what do we mean by matir l'mizbeach? We're referring to being able to put the innards of a korban ola on the mizbeach. What enables you to put the innards on the mizbeach? The sprinkling of the blood. So the blood is a matir for other things, and hence those other things are subject to the pigul violation. Pigul has to do with a sacrifice that was slaughtered with an incorrect mindset regarding time. In other words, someone slaughtered a sacrifice or processed a sacrifice with the intent of eating its meat beyond its allotted time. Vidam atzmoi matirhu. Blood, on the other hand, is not something that has a matir. It is the matir. It is the catalyst or the vehicle to allow other things to be eaten or done. That having been said, blood itself doesn't have a matir, and therefore there is no pigul violation associated with it. We haven't offered all of the depth behind this. That you can see more of this in the Rashi. But as far as rules are concerned, so that's what we have demonstrated here. So that in as far as the last section of the Gemara, what about the three psukim regarding the blood? We had three mi'utim regarding the blood. What do they do? So, and the question was asked on the heels of what the Gemara had established, that something, dovah shenaseis mitzvaso, I know there's no mi'ila. And that we explained because we had either you say shnei k'suvim my boy ke'echod, or we said there were trei mi'uti, but that the main point is that I know from there that the blood does not subject a person to a mi'ila penalty. So then what was the role of those three psukim? So the Gemara explained, one was memayit blood from the nosar penalty, one to memayit it from mi'ila on a Torah level, and the other is to memayit it from tumah. So we have said that blood on a Torah level, there is no mi'ila. Midrabbanan, on a rabbinic level, there is, and hence we saw in the Mishnah that farmers who want to benefit from it would have to pay for that to use it as fertilizer. Before concluding, I just want to mention a detailed observation. The Gemara mentioned that one of the psukim of the dam was to be mayit it from mi'ila. It's my impression that we're saying if there's no mi'ila on the blood even before you would use it. But now this requires some analysis, because we pointed out before that from the fact that we had two mi'uti, the somo by the Chumas Hadesh and Arufa, that only there, regarding the items concerning which a mitzvah was done already, once the mitzvah is done, there is no mi'ilah. So that would tell me about blood after the Zrikas Adam were done. So from there, I would have ostensibly learned that there is no mi'ilah. So I wouldn't need to have another pasuk to tell me that there's no mi'ilah on dam if you're dealing with it at a point after the mitzvah was done. So what then is the pasuk doing when we say it's memayit dam from ila? The option that would appear right now would be to memayit it from mi'ila even before the mitzvah was done. But as I said, that point requires further clarification. So with that in mind, we will just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Before signing off, it just struck me that is point is actually quite obvious. This is what we said back on Nun Tes Omid Beis, that the word who taught me that even before kapara, even before you use the blood for sprinkling, ain bo mi'ilah. As far as the problem of mi'ilah regarding blood after the sprinkling, that was the topic that we spent more time on. Ein l'chodover shenasis mitzvasa, where the mitzvah was already be done, and there would still be mi'ilah. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.